The topic of our sermon today is serving and sacrificing in the community. And we welcome our speaker, Brother John Ogar, to share the word. And we look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme on living a life of sacrifice and service. We now invite our speaker.
May we pray together. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you for our worship together this morning, this first Advent Sunday. Lord, thank you for your presence that we have experienced, Lord, throughout the service this morning. Now we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us in return and cause our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and release grace for us, Lord, to live in obedience to what you speak to us this morning. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Good morning. The Lord bless you. Welcome to December. Welcome to the Lord's presence. In this quarter in our church, we have been considering the theme, living a life of sacrifice and service. Emphasis on living the life of sacrifice and service. And the topic given to me for the communion service is serving and sacrificing in the community. I'm sure we understand that to mean the community of brethren, the church community. So as we consider this topic together this morning in the Word of God, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will work in each and every one of us to live a life of sacrifice and service in the community of believers. The key emphasis of this topic are the keywords of service, of sacrifice, and sharing, and the impact our lives can make in our communities as we live out in the realities of these three or four keywords. So as we delve into this topic this morning, let's note first of all that we are all called to be a serving community. The first thing I want to bring to your heart, to your consideration, is the fact that we are all called to serve, to be God's servants. And I would like to read a scripture for us in the book of Romans. We have already read the key reference points, so we are going to be reading scriptures that also emphasize what this subject is all about. And I would like to read that Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 10 in the Passion Translation. Just for us to catch up very fast with the issue. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then strive in serving others well. If you have the great gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the great gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the great gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. You know, this sort of summarizes for us the text, the scriptural text that gave us the topic for this, our sharing this morning. And I felt I should read it in that translation, which is self-explanatory, that the issue of church, of our church community, being called to serve, is a given. It's not an option. That is what a community of believers should be doing, serving the Lord, and in serving the Lord, serving one another with red-hot passion, with red-hot enthusiasm, with zeal that can commend us to, you know, the community around us. That is what the first thing I want you to see. And so as we go back to our text, I want to draw your attention to the fact that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible talks about their steadfastness. Their steadfastness. As they gather together, what are the things that their community was gathering together to do? Why did God bring them together? Why did God form them into one body, into a brotherhood of sisters and brothers, people that are enthusiastically serving the Lord in serving one another? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. They were sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. So I commend four key issues to you this morning, brothers and sisters. What was their devotion? The community of believers in serving one another, they were doing it with commitment. They were doing it with devotion. What were those four things that they were so devoted to that was producing the impact that we are going to be seeing? The first is that the Bible says they were committed to the apostles' doctrine, to the teaching of the word of God. So I want you to see the priority God is giving to the ministry of His word, that if we are going to be a serving community, we can only take our bearing from the word of God. It cannot be from the opinion of men. It cannot be from the philosophies of men. It cannot be from, you know, the thoughts of human beings. There is a base. There is something that brings us together, and that must be the word of God. Our commitment to it, in allowing it to be taught to us, is what will begin to deal with issues in our lives that will have made community very difficult. But when we all sit together and we are devoted to the apostolic teaching of the Word of God, receiving the Word of God from the mouth of our leaders as the Lord is releasing it to us through them, and we are yielding to it, then you will see that that will be the base for a serving community. Praise the Lord. The Word of God told us that even before our Lord Jesus Christ went away, the first thing he told them in the book of Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, I'm reading that quickly. Then Jesus came close to them and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of the age." So we see that what the apostles were doing, their commitment to the apostolic doctrine, was because that was what the Lord Jesus commanded them to go and be doing. And because Jesus Christ knew that it is until they began to faithfully teach the Word of God that has been entrusted to them, the purpose of God for community, the purpose of God for the church will not be realized. And we see that the apostles, they were committed to it. And as they were committed to it, and as people were believing and coming into the faith, you can see the priority they gave to the Word of God in their midst. I'm praying, God Almighty, that as we have been doing as a church, we will not limit the Word of God in our midst. We will not limit the teaching of the Word of God in our midst. Because you cannot have a vibrant community of believers if you omit the Word of God. If you are not giving heed to it, if you are not giving space for it to be faithfully taught, and then we yielding to the instructions that God is bringing to us, we are not going to see a community that is totally sold out to serving the Almighty God. The second of their devotion is devotion to fellowship. Devotion to fellowship. So they were not only devoted to the apostles' doctrine, they were devoted to fellowshipping together. I think it's in the book of Hebrews that the Bible says we should not neglect the meeting of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I know that we are living in days where it is very difficult to share fellowship the way we saw it practiced in the first century church. We are all so very busy now that even to come together on weekdays to study the Word of God, to pray, to do things together as a body of believers, we have to struggle to do it. On Sunday morning like this, the church may be full, but on other days of the week, you may be surprised that we'll just be a few heads in church. But you see, God's desire is that we should bond together. And bonding only happens in the context of fellowship, where we are gathering together. And if we look at that scripture very well, where the Bible says we should not neglect it, that means that there is a possibility of neglecting. There are some things that can appear to be more, to take more of your time. Something that may appear to be more of a priority for you than the Word of God, and therefore, and the fellowship of brethren, and therefore, you may neglect. I know that these days that we have entered into the virtual space, and we are giving opportunity of people joining the church even virtually. You know, that is good. It's remedial. Actually, it's remedial. There is nothing as good as our gathering together. When the dynamic of our gathering together, when the Spirit of God is moving in our midst corporately, it does a lot. It brings encouragement to those who you may not know what brethren are passing through when they are left on their own. But when we come together like this and the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst, you will be amazed how much healing, emotional healing, healing of the mind will be taking place because we are together, we are bonding. So they committed themselves to fellowship. They committed themselves to the breaking of bread. I thank God that this morning is our communion service. We are going to share in this bread. But from my understanding of that scripture, as Luke 22:19 says, we have the communion in the church, which when we gather together, we do. What did Luke 22:19 says? Bible says, then he lifted up a loaf, and after praying a prayer of thanksgiving to God, he gave each of his apostles a piece of bread, saying, this loaf is my body, which is now being offered to you. Always eat it to remember me. Praise the Lord. We thank God that when we gather together in church, we are usually observing this communion. And it is good. Christ said we should always do it in remembrance of him. But if you read Acts chapter 2 verse 46, you will see that they were not only sharing that fellowship and that communion in church. Please, Luke chapter 2 verse 46. I hope we are sharing those scriptures. Bible says daily they met together in the temple courts. They were not meeting weekly. Thank God for weekly meetings. They were meeting daily in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. So the communion they were having that was bringing them into fellowship, bonding together, was not only when they came to church. They were moving from house to house. Today, they were led to go to the house of our brother, the general in front, and he will receive them. They will eat, they will drink, they will celebrate. It was a celebration. The next day, they will move to the other brother's house. The next day, they will move. Because they were not only knowing themselves in church. They knew each other's homes. I don't want to embarrass us this morning. I will have asked, said, please, all the brethren who are in church this morning, we are sharing fellowship, but how many of the brethren's houses do you know? How many have you visited in the past? We are in December now, in the 11 months of this year. I know that we have home sales, but home sales is also a Sunday affair. Am I correct? And it's good. But God is talking about the brethren day by day, getting involved in each other's life, not only in church, but in their homes, in their community. I pray that God will bring a revival of this to us again in the name of Jesus. Because it builds fellowship, it builds communion. So let me quickly move on. They were devoted to prayers. That was the order of their devotion. Two things that ensure that they were a serving community. Devotion to the word of God. Devotion to fellowship. Devotion to communion. Sharing their things together. Sharing their food together. Not just in church. Day by day. Going to each other's homes. Getting involved with each other. They were also devoted to prayers. We have read all of that in our text. So, let me move on to the second aspect. Secondly, we are not just called to be a serving community. We are called to be a sacrificing and sharing community, not a selfish community. We are called to what? To be a sacrificing and sharing community. We are talking about a sharing that costs you something. A sharing, a love that is costly, that is costing you your time, costing you your resources, costing you your money, in order to build that community. It's not just a sharing that comes of the leftovers. We see in this community that they were not selfish. Romans chapter 12 shows us the matter of the sacrifice of our lives, the giving of our bodies by people who have experienced the mercy of God. He said, beloved friends, what should be your proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices. You cannot be a sacrificing community if you have not first of all laid down your life on the altar for God as a living sacrifice. It is when you have laid your all on the altar that it will be easy for you to do what? To share it with the rest of the community. Every time that you are still your own boss, you are still your own director, you are still in charge of yourself, sincerely, we will not achieve a sacrificial or a sacrificing community. But for us, Bible says that when we surrender ourselves to God, the surrender first is to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices. When we do that, then something will happen. We will live in holiness, experiencing all that delights God's heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Thank God for the wonderful worship service we are having and experiencing. But you know, worship goes beyond standing together here to sing. It's part of it, but it's beyond it. Worship is the act of the complete surrender of your life. I would say that is your reasonable act of worship or your reasonable expression of worship. Praise the Lord. So we see that in some of our text passages. Bible says all the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. That is Acts 2:44. Acts 2:46 says, daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. And Acts chapter 4 verse 32, which I'm reading again, also says, all the believers were one in mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. Thirdly, we are called to be an impactful community. When you are serving, you are also doing what? You are sacrificing and sharing. It's meant to produce something. It's meant to bring an impact. A serving, sacrificing, and sharing community will be an impactful and growing community. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Bible says, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And not only that, Bible says they were continually filled with praises to God. enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. So what are we summarizing from those scriptures? We are saying that the serving community will make impact. Will make impact not only within the church community, that impact will spread to the wider society. Because the Bible says that when all the unbelievers saw what was happening among the community of believers, they were amazed. They just saw a different species of people that were standing apart, standing, they were distinctive, different from the rest of society. They experienced gladness. They experienced sincerity in their relationship. They were singing praises to God. Joy was radiating in their midst. And the Bible said they had favor with all the people. And then we also saw that they were increasing. The result of their fellowship, the result of their bonding, the result of their service was that God was adding to the church daily, not occasionally, daily, such as are receiving the word of God. And I pray that that will be the testimony of our church, Victoria Fellowship Church, that a time will come when we will even be looking to extend this church because of our impact in our community. May it be so in the name of Jesus. What we produce it is what we are seeing in the word of God. God is a God of growth. God says you should go and produce fruits, and that your fruit should what? Should abide. Abiding fruitfulness, abounding fruitfulness is God's will for any community of believers. And once God sees the elements we are looking at, the natural outcome of it is what? Is growth. Growth in membership, growth in character, growth in spirituality. And then, fourthly, we are not only called corporately to serve, we are also called individually. And I will try to wrap up with the story of Barnabas that we saw in the second passage we read. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. Just to show you that what made the community tick was the individuals, the brothers, the sisters, that took the word of God personally and were living it out. They were demonstrating it. And that affected the entire community. So, what does the word of God say to us about Barnabas? Bible says that Barnabas was a Levite. And the Bible in my Passion Translation, in that verse 36 and 37, says, for example. So, they are giving us an example of people that were in a community sharing, sacrificing, giving. Bible says, for example, there was a Levite. Yes, from Cyprus, named Joseph, who sold his farmland and placed the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. They nicknamed him Barnabas, or encourager. Do you see what Barnabas was doing? Barnabas was a Levite. He was from Cyprus, a Jew from Cyprus, who came, and in coming to Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit came down, he also was converted. And as he sat down under the apostles' teaching and doctrine, things were happening. Transformation was going on in his life. And God wanted to show us a specimen of men and women that were captured by that first move of the Holy Spirit in the community. And he's showcasing this Barnabas for us. Barnabas was the name that was given to him. That was not his birth name. It was the name that was given as he began to demonstrate this life of sacrifice. So the apostles decided to say, look, you had a name, but you see, your lifestyle now is suggesting another thing, an identity for you. You know, name is always for identity. Your life is now showing a different identity. You are the son of encouragement, the son of consolation. You are an encourager. And brothers and sisters, I wish we had many Barnabases in our midst in the name of Jesus. Do you know if we have many Barnabases, the story will be different. Things will move. God will move in our midst. And I pray that God will do something in our individual lives to know that this is not just something we are called to do corporately. The corporate is a collection of the individuals. And God wants you to respond to him personally, just like Barnabas did. When Barnabas gave himself, you know, as we're reading Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we saw how God said, lay down your life as a living sacrifice. So when Barnabas laid down his life, there was nothing he could hold back. He was wholehearted. He was wholehearted in his devotion to God. So, whether it is land or it is house, he didn't see it as his to keep. Whatever God gave to him was no more for himself alone. It is for who? It's for all of us. And he could cast it at the disciples' feet. Now, what is the energy around all of this? In chapter 2, verse 1, Bible says that as they were gathered together with one accord, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came down. So, what enabled what we are seeing in Acts chapter 2 didn't begin from verse 37 we began to read. It began from what? From verse 1. The descent of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment that came to their life because the Spirit of the living God had come down. So, brothers and sisters, that is where we are wrapping up. And what I'm saying to you is that community is only possible where the Holy Spirit has free expression, where we allow him to walk in our midst. When he begins to walk, when he comes down and he fills us with that power from on high. Christ said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and unto the uttermost part of the world. You are here today because Pentecost happened. Amen? We are all here today because the apostles, they obeyed the commission of the Lord, and they did what the Lord told them to do. May God find us men and women that will walk in obedience to him in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. I give you yourself just 1 minute to respond to God. As a member of this community, this church community, are you a servant or you are a boss? Are you serving? Have you given yourself to the Lord, first of all? And have you given yourself to the brethren? Bible says we are members one of another. And God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us, put different endowments in us in order that we might serve him and serve in the community, so that we can grow. Are you devoted to the word of God? Are you devoted to fellowship? Are you devoted to communion with the brethren from house to house and in church? Are you devoted to prayers? Brothers and sisters, how is our prayer life corporately and individually? Prayer is that oxygen, is that powerhouse for a growing and dynamic community. It is prayer that gives dynamism. Even when the Holy Spirit comes and fills all of us, it is sustained. The work of the Holy Spirit is sustained in prayers. Father, we thank you this morning. This is the kind of community you have envisioned even for us in VFC. You want us to be a growing community whose influence is spreading far and wide, so that, Lord, the whole earth will experience the redemptive grace of God manifested in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that within our church you will raise us up. You will make us men and women like Barnabas as we stand together shoulder to shoulder, serving one another, so that your purposes for our world will be realized. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.